page 44, and this is Mishnah Yud, the 10th Mishnah in the 4th chapter. Va'achar kach, and afterwards, ois pei. So we've had Beis Gimel Dalet, those were double letters, and Chaf, now pei. U'mekoyma, it's situated, the letter pei is situated ben siv on the pathway, asher ben sefiros chesed le sefiros netzach, between the two sefiros of chesed and netzach, that's the right hand column. At the top there's chachma, beneath it there is chesed, and beneath it there is netzach. On the pathway between chachma and chesed was yocheved, and here underneath yocheved on the pathway between chesed and netzach is Leah, one of the two wives of Jacob. Yenisa, we learn in the Gemara in Shabbos, Omer Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says Reish Lakish was one of the most prolific of the Midrashic rabbis, and a great sections of the Medrash Rabbah, the great Medrash, are attributed to sayings of Reish Lakish. And he's often quoted in the Gemara in the Agadic mode as well. And he says, he quotes the verse in Isaiah 33, V'hoyo emunas itecha. Emuna means faith, and the faith of your times, Chosen Yeshuos, is going to be a strengthening of salvation. Chochmas Vodas, wisdom and knowledge. So, without going into the details of the sentence itself, it has a very strange texture. Chochmas, usually we talk about Chochma. But Emunas Itecho, the faith of your times. Chosen, a strengthening, Yeshua's of salvation. And it's not even in the singular salvation, but salvations. Chochmas, which is like wisdoms, or wisdom of Vodas, and knowledge. So the Reish Lakish says, Emuna, the faith in, that refers to Seder Zeroyim, that section of the Mishnah is divided into six orders. The first one is called Zeroyim, it deals with agriculture in the Holy Land, and it's known as Zeroyim, which means seeds. Itecha, your times. Zeh Seder Moed. This refers to the second order of the Mishnah, which we call Moed, meaning festivals, and it deals with everything from Shabbos to Purim. Chosen, the strengthening. Zeh Seder Noshim. This is the third order of the Mishnah, which deals with women, marriages, divorces, documents, and various other areas of marriage, and generally dealing with women. Yeshua's salvations, that's the fourth order of the Mishnah, that deals with Nezikin, damages, torts, contracts, and inheritances, and so on. Chochmas, the wisdoms, Zeh Seder Kodshim, this deals with the fifth order of the Mishnah, dealing with the temple, sacrifices, offerings, and the architecture of the temple, the priestly caste, and so on. Vodas, and knowledge, Zeh Seder Taharis, this is the sixth order of the Mishnah, which deals with the ritual cleanliness and purity of a variety of things, from animals and plants to leprosy of tzaraas, and the purification from it, dead bodies in buildings, zava and nida, and so on. Umazbir b'sefer pri tzadik. So Reb Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin explains why this Reish Lakish, why he associates this verse with each of the orders of the Mishnah. So he says, Kedusha Sidrei Mishnah Asmechu Chachomeinu Al Posuk V'hoi Emunas Itecho. So the Chachomim, the sages, they've associated this verse in Isaiah with these six orders of the Mishnah. And they said, Emunas, that faith is Seder Zeroyim, is the order dealing with agriculture and seeds. Shema'amin b'chaye erlomim, because a person who plants has faith in he who gives life to the world, Zoreya. And he plants the seed. You know, if you have seed, you have rice, right? You have wheat. What's to stop you eating it? Why put it in the ground? Doesn't it make sense just to boil it up and eat it as food? Well, I put it in the ground because I'm going to use it as seed. I'm hoping it germinates and gives me next year a whole crop of, you know, more rice and more wheat. But there's no guarantee, right? So putting your seeds in the ground is an expression of your faith. The Reb Tzedek says, L'choyre gamu akim zoyrim, avsheinem emuna. What do you mean, faith? Faith in what? You know, the pagan, he also plants his seeds. To suggest that somehow planting is an act of faith in God, it's a bit naive when most of the farmers in the world don't believe in God. I mean, they believe in nature, right? So why is it an act of faith that that Isaiah talks about emunas itecho, the faith that people have in your times? So Reb Tzedek says, What the prophet Isaiah is suggesting and what Reish Lakish is trying to underline is the following. Even though the Jew does something which looks as though it's a natural thing. Hey, all farmers plant seed because all farmers trust in nature, the rain, the winter, and so on, and that next spring it's going to germinate and sprout. Nevertheless, even though nature decrees that when you plant seeds they grow, shehu matzmiach she'olam kiminhogoy noheg, because the world runs the way the world is accustomed to running, im kol zeh, nevertheless, yodea betach, a Jew always knows she'hakol hu mehashgacha sabora, that everything is divine providence, afilo dovor hanezev lepeula sa'odam, even something that has been left to man to do. And in fact, nature isn't natural. Nature is something that is being taken care of by God, and every seed that goes into the ground has an angel that has to take care of it and provide for it and protect it. And that's the meaning of Hoyamuna Sitecho, associated with Seder Zeroim, the order of the Mishnah that deals with seeds is really that which deals with the most basic nature. Nevertheless, we are asserting that we have emuna, we have faith, not in nature because nature is or does what nature is, but rather we have faith in nature because we have faith that God orders it and orders the future of every seed. And just as we stand there on Rosh Hashanah and are judged and our year is there's a sentence about what everything that's going to happen in the coming year, you know, we believe that the same is true of every atom in the universe and every seed that gets planted in the ground everywhere all over this planet. The same is true and the same applies, and that it doesn't require more faith to believe that God can heal me and take care of me and my family than it does to believe that the seed which is planted in a field, in a rice paddy field somewhere in southern Southeast Asia, that has the same hashgacha pratit, that requires the same divine providence. Im kol ze yodea betach she'hakol mehashgachas ha'boreh, that is something that we accept, that everything requires. U'me'ayin lonu ha'emuna hazois, where do we get this kind of faith from? Where do we, as Jews, how did we learn it? Who was the first practitioner? Eloha emuna bolonu melea imenu. This faith comes to us from our mother Leah. V'nishtarish bonu al yoda, and it was rooted into our very being, into our soul, at her hand. Upirish ha'emuna ha'shelema, real faith is she kol ma she'ove olav, everything that happens, afilu mima she'olech derech hateva, even things that happen naturally, v'olam kiminhogoy noyheg, and even if the world is just running the way the world should be running. Hakol b'hashgacha pratis meduyekes mimeni yisbarach. Everything is divine providence. You know, I keep breathing in and out. I woke up this morning, I was breathing, and I've been breathing all day. And, you know, I can fool myself and say, well, that's nature. Your body is built that way. But that, you know, that doesn't really answer it. That doesn't really answer the deep question. The deep question is, who and why? And the answer is, because I have divine providence. And so every breath that I take is ordered and prepared and taken care of. V'chol zera zerua, and every seed that gets planted, mashgiach olav HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'einei pekicha, God watches it with an open eye, mireishis hashana v'ad achrisoi, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. U'bezoise emuna, if a person can consistently practice faith at this level, mamshich chasodim el kol ha'olamos, then we draw down chasodim, we draw down loving kindness and chesed, not just to ourselves, but to the whole world. Umarish ein yish me oilam uboilam klal. And then we are exhibiting the fact that there is no such thing as despair. Not now, there never has been, there never will be, not in this world and not in any world. Umamin bekoyach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I, you know, that is a declaration of faith in the power of God, that even the past can be fixed. There can be a tikkun. Even premeditated wickednesses that I may have done in the past can be changed and can be turned around. It's not that I can be forgiven, right? The meaning of teshuva is that I believe that the act itself can become a mitzvah. So much so that God in His glory will come and say to me, thank you for doing that terrible thing, that it turned out to be such a marvelous thing. Here, let me give you your reward for doing this mitzvah. How could such a thing be? That I changed the past. Because that's what the Talmud, the sages, meant when they said, how great is repentance, that even the sins that were done to annoy God, even those sins that we do in defiance, you know, those sins that we do just to, because we're in self-destruct mode and we don't care, right? We don't give a damn. Even those sins can become zechuyos, can become merits, can become mitzvahs, right? How could you believe such a thing? But if we have faith, that there is no such thing as despair in the world, that everything, that being born into this world is the same as being planted. And that when we come to earth, in fact we are being planted in earth. And that we trust, Seyed Zeroim, and this is the order of the Mishnah dealing with seeds, and it's called Emunas, faith. So we proceed, we live our life with faith that it's worth it being born. Then, in return, because it's all midah, measure for measure, then God shows His faith and shows that our faith was well placed. V'hu ki hachilik bein zera lishmomo hu dak dak moid. Because the difference and the distinction between seed and desolation is a very, very fine distinction. And here in this chapter, we deal with these distinctions between life and death, between wealth and poverty, between peace and evil, and so on. And here, Leah deals with the distinction between Zera and Shmoma, seed and desolation. Ve'ein Zriya She'ein Bo Shmoma. You can't sow a seed without there being some desolation. Ki ikasoid azriya hu harikovoim. Because the secret of planting a seed is that you need to have it decay to the point where it can germinate. Ashekoidim lenabot. Before you can have that sprouting, the thing has to begin breaking down. It has to get wet and soggy and so on. And it's no longer edible. And in that place where the seed is germinating, that's not up to us. That's not where we have our power. Things are going according to the laws of heaven, and everything is from heaven. And everything is from heaven, even fear of heaven. And this is the meaning of the verse in Genesis, Ve'ene Lea Rachos, and the Torah tells us that Rachel was very beautiful and fair to look at, and all the Torah tells about Leah is not that she was good to look at, but that her eyes were Rachos, and that can be translated as weak, tender, soft. We can read it as a Lashon Tachanunim, an expression of beseeching and prayer. Kumodat Oma, as we say in the book of Job, Hayir ba'elecho tachnunim, will he pray to you, im yedaber elecho rachois, or will he speak to you rachois? So the word rachois can also mean prayer. So, einei Lea rachois, the eyes of Lea are a prayer. V'lea eneno roya b'tzoin avio, and Lea is not a shepherdess in her father's flocks, im rochel achoisa, with her sister Rachel, mishum she'enei rachois, because her eyes are weak, v'chein perish Rashbam. And this is how the Rashbam, one of the commentators on the verse, explains it. Venerali has berish Lea imenu, Lea, our mother, tomid eineho meleis tachnunim, her eyes are always filled with prayer. Umabito behem, and she can see with her eyes that are full of prayer and longing, she can see l'toich ha-choshech, into the darkness, shom ha-hascholois, because that's where all things begin, in the darkness. Kmodat Oma, as it is written in the book of Micha, al tismichi eivosi li kinofalti kamti. Don't get all happy, don't rejoice, my enemies, about me because I fell, because I got up. Because even if I dwell in darkness, Hashem orli, God is light for me. Upirish nufalti kamti, when she says I fell, I got up in the past. Dahinu koidem masa breishis, because Leah, as we were learning previously in the previous chapters, Leah changed the order of creation. Lifnei mama yihi or, before ever God said, let there be light, shom einehu shol Lea rachos b'tachnunim, that's where Leah's eyes, which are soft with prayers, that's where they can see, k'mo shizbanu le'el b'perek gimel, as we explained above in chapter 3. Shekoicho shel Leah, the power of Leah, godol beruchos shel Mashiach, is great in the spirit of the Mashiach, b'chinas beruach alekim erachefus, as we said, the Torah tells us, in the beginning God created heaven and earth, and earth was chaos and void, and there was darkness over the face of the abyss, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And we talked about the Medrash that the chaos and void and darkness in the abyss refers to the various empires that have arisen through history, through Jewish history, and how each of them has enslaved us. And then Veruach Elikim refers to the Spirit of Mashiach. Merachefus apnei ha'mayim is hovering over the water. Why is it hovering? Because the spirit of Mashiach depends on Leah marrying Yaakov. And at that point in creation, the voice has gone out saying that Leah is going to marry Esav. So the spirit of Mashiach is hovering over the water and is about to drown. And that's where Leah can see. She can see in that darkness, and she sees the spirit of Mashiach hovering over the waters. V'chein isa b'zoyah kodesh, and so we learn in the Zohar, v'chol uvdoye de Lea b'iskasya inon. Everything that Lea does is hidden. Begin the alma ilo I b'iskasya v'loy b'isgali, because the world to come is, the upper world is hidden. It's not visible. Begin kach le'id kamisosa, delay, and that's why the Torah doesn't mention the death of Leah at all, kimisosa de Rochel, like the Torah tells us at length about the death and burial of Rachel. V'tochazi, come and look, says the Zohar. Dehochu vaday, this is how it has to be. Begil de almi ilo kol milad miskasi, because everything that deals with the upper world is dealt with in an oblique and hidden way. V'almi tatoi, and everything in this world, in the lower world, kol milad miskali, everything to do with the lower world is done in public, in the open. Begin kachis kasi leah, therefore what is hidden is leah. And therefore, she is also buried b'ma'arta d'kpalta. She is buried in the cave of Machpelah in Hebron, together with the other patriarchs and matriarchs, because she is hidden. V'rochel b'giluya d'orcha, and Rachel is buried in public on the road to Beis Lechem. Do b'sitra v'do b'sgalia. This one is hidden, and this one is revealed. So let's look at Mishnah Yud. So the Mishnah says, Himlich ois pei. We are now at the top of page 46. Himlich ois pei. He enthroned the letter pei, v'koshaloi keser, and tied it a crown, v'tzarfon ze im ze, and combined them one with another, v'tzar boi koichav ba'olam, and he formed Mercury, the planet Mercury in the world, v'chamishi b'shabas b'shona, on Thursday in the year, v'oizen smoil b'nefesh, and the left ear in the soul. So, the pei is on the pathway between Chesed and Netzach, which is Leah, and Thursday is the second day of the Gevurah, Wednesday is the first, where Shabbos is in the future, Thursday is the second. Let's move on to the next Mishnah. We're now on page 48. Psicha leMishnah Yud Aleph. V'achar kach, then, ois resh. The next one is the letter resh. U'mekoyim b'nesiv asher bein Tzfiras Gevurah l'Tzfiras Hod. The letter resh is at the bottom of the channel between Gevurah on the left-hand side and the sphere of Hoid. At the top is Bina to Gevura, and there we said was Ruth, and underneath, between Gevura and Hoid, is Rachel. In Iksif, it's written, Ki kol hu oisha shehitzel alikim me'avinu lonu hu levonenu. Yaakov was leaving, and he had had enough there. He'd spent many years in Lavan's house, and he felt it was time to leave, and he said to his wives, I feel your father is not with us. I look at his face, not the same as it used to be, and I hear your brothers, and they're angry that I've become rich. And they answer saying, our father always treated us with tremendous disrespect. You know, other girls, they get married, their father has a dowry for them, something is put away. He hasn't squandered everything throughout his life, right? But here, Yaakov comes to marry Rochel and ends up marrying both Rochel and Leah, and what does his father-in-law do? He makes him work day and night for 14 years. So they say, our father treated us with disrespect and he sold us the way you would sell slave girls, and all the wealth that you have taken from our father, it's like salvage, it's like you've saved it, and anyway, it belongs to us anyway. So v'isa al zeh b'sefer Me'er Shiloach, in the Me'er Shiloach we learned, it's written, v'yishmas divrei b'nei Lavan, Jacob heard what the children of the sons of Lavan were saying. Leimo, lokach Yaakov is koila shelavino, look, Jacob has taken everything that belongs to our fathers. Vayar Yaakov is b'nei Lavan, and Jacob saw the face of Lavan. V'hinei enenu imoy kitmoy shilshem, it's not with him anymore. It's not like friendly, right? Like it was yesterday or the day before. Vayishlach Yaakov v'yikru l'rochel l'leah, and Yaakov sent to call for Rochel and Leah. And he said to them, you know, I don't like the way your father-in-law is looking. And they answered, Kikalo oisha shehitzel alikim yavinu lonu hu levanenu, all the wealth that God has salvaged from our father. It's ours anyway. So the Smichas HaPsukim U'elu, so the Ishbitz explains the connection between these verses. Al Pima Shabir Bezer Rabbeinu Rebunim Mepeshischa, and he uses a Yisoid, a fundamental teaching from his Rebbe, the Rebunim of Pshischa. She'iki Yeshivas Yaakov Etzel Lavan, the main purpose and reason for Yaakov's dwelling with Lavan in Mesopotamia, it was to gather from Lavan any good characteristics, good ideas, ulahachnisam likedusha, and to bring them into the holiness. Because man shizeh hamiduhu etzlam, because so long as this a good characteristic or a good idea is with Lavan and his people, as he begolus, the idea is in exile, and it can be the most fantastic, beautiful idea, but if it's with wicked people, then the idea itself is in exile. Ki oisim im amidu hepech mirotzen Hashem Yisbarach, because they take this beautiful idea and they turn it into something against the will of God. You know, we have experience in Europe, so much of this kind of experience. You know, we admired the Germans so much for their ideas and their engineering and their, you know, their sense of order, sense of history, sense of destiny, sense of a lot of their romantic ideas. All those beautiful ideas, they were in exile, because you can take those beautiful ideas and what? Yeah? And build Auschwitz. But when this idea or whatever it is, this characteristic or aspect of God is absorbed into Israel, then they no longer have real power in that characteristic. And they're no longer, even though it may look on the outside as though they still possess or still connected to that genius, but they don't have it anymore. They're just acting. Because man shehamida hi oid etzlam, nisroel agvam shem lovush lemida zu shel Hashem Yisbarach Yis Mitzro. And this is an amazing idea. The Rebbe Rabbunim says that so long as the goy, so long as the pagan is still involved or still represents or manifests this beautiful idea, then it looks to all the world as though that goy is wrapped in God more than the Jewish person. You know, there's so many times in history, I mean, for me, when I think about a historical moment that puts this Torah of the Rebbe Rebunim into relief, think of the time when the Christians in Europe were building their great cathedrals in the 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th centuries, when you know, in towns where there was no running water and there was no, you know, they came together, people came together to build these, what words are there to describe the magnificence of these buildings and to unleash the power that is in the stone and the vision that went into designing these vaults and these vaulted ceilings and the buttresses and the flying buttresses and the roofs. And you know, when you think about what was involved for people who couldn't read to create over not one lifetime, but many lifetimes of people who dwelt in these places just to dedicate their lives to these songs in stone, written in stone, right? And yet, you know, it took them 5 minutes to turn around and kill all the Jews, right? At a time like that, it was hard not to believe that God is wrapped up in these cathedrals, in these stones, in the genius of the people who produced these incredible edifices, right? It's hard to, I mean, you look at them and the grace and the beauty and the creativity and inspiration that is in these edifices. It's hard not to admit, and this is what the Ishbitz is saying, because man shahamida hu oid etzlam, so long as this creative genius of whatever it is still among the goyim, nisroa al agvan shehem levush lemidazul shel Hashem Yisbarach Yosem Yisrael. They look as though they are clothed, or they are the clothing of this characteristic of God, more than we, the Jewish people, are. V'zeh nikra shehamidah hi begolus, and this is what it means when we say that this characteristic of God is in exile. And in fact, you know, it was at that time that Rabbeinu Gershon made the decree that a man is not allowed to take more than one wife. And, you know, according to tradition, European Jews all took this upon themselves with a cherem, a ban of excommunication, not to marry more than one wife. But I've often thought that this rabbi, Rabbeinu Gershon, is known as Moira Goylo, he's known as the light of the exile. And I think he was responding to some of the anxiety and angst that we felt, that we were dwelling among people who seemed to be ascendant and have seemed to be, you know, have supplanted us. And so by passing a law that God wasn't allowed to take two wives because God has to keep the halacha, the same that we do, he was reshoring us, and therefore he's the rabbi known as Moir HaGoylo, the light of the exile. So, but once we absorb the genius of whatever it is, then we actually use it to do the will of God. Because the Jewish people are the vehicle for God's desire in the world to be expressed. And so long as this characteristic remains among the pagans, they maintain some kind of grace. They look good in this world. And this shines on their face. And so, you know, everything they do and everything they own has this glamour and looks good. When Jacob heard the sons of Laban saying, "Hey, Jacob's taken everything that belongs to our father," even though they themselves didn't really know what they were saying. Yaakov understands that God was sending this to their mouth, kidei shehu yovin, so that he, Jacob, should hear it and understand that he's already absorbed everything that he needs to absorb from Lavan. V'chol amidos toivos, and all the good characteristics, shenikru'u nitzotzes kedoshes, which we call holy sparks, nichnasu kval Yisrael, they've already been brought into Israel. V'lechein ein lo'i oit shum esik, so Yaakov now knows that he has no more business there with Lavan. U'miyad, immediately the Torah tells us, "Vayar Yaakov es pnei Lavan." Yaakov looks at the face of Lavan. "Vehina enena imoy kitmer shishim." Doesn't look like the same face as it did yesterday or the day before. "Vehavin mizeh," so he understands, "shenita mimenu kalagvan chein," that now Lavan no longer has the chein. He no longer has the grace because he's no longer the owner of these good midos, of these good ideas and holy sparks, shehoyle, that he used to have. Bein pon of oid krishen, so even his face no longer looks the same. B'lecheno yitzorech livreach mimenu, so now Jacob has to run away from Lavan. Shekva lo yhoye b'lavan shem nitzes toif, because now Lavan actually doesn't contain anything holy or good. Sheyat sabade milara li Yaakov, that could stop him from doing harm to Yaakov. So he sends for Rachel Leah, and they understand what Jacob means, and they agree to his words. And they said, all the wealth that God has salvaged from our father belongs to us anyway. Hainu, meaning to say, that which we've taken from him, the good, the character, good ideas, cultural wealth, whatever, that's been like as though we salvaged. Shekala toivis shaychim b'shorish l'zer Yisrael, because all these good things really belong in the root to us, to Israel. They were his daughters who had brought them. So now, this is what I want to say. Up until here was a quote from the Meir Shilech. Now I want to say, the ability to take out the good from the dross, Bole Yaakov Mishenosis Rachel, this is only something that Jacob acquired after he married Rachel. Ki Rachel Koicha Ugvarosa, because Rachel's power and strength were Lirois Koyach Hayafsheri, is to be able to see the possible. Mashabekoyach, everything that's in potential, Voidle Bepoil, that hasn't been actualized. Mashaefshelios, what could be, Voosid Lios, and what's going to be. That's the genius of Rachel, Bechinas Lehabo. She's the master of the future. K'moshiz banu le'el b'perigimel, as we explained above in chapter 3. B'chein motzino b'bnei Rochel, and so we find with the children of Rochel, the same genius. Gabi Yosef, it says, v'yalked Yosef, v'yalked Yosef es kol ha'kesef ha'nimtze be'eretz Mitzrayim be'eretz Kanaan, that Yosef assembles and gathers all the silver that is to be found both in the land of Egypt in the land of Canaan, by Yilaket. It doesn't say the gold, it says the silver, because we've talked about how the silver refers to the longings, the Nichsef Nichsafti. The Eastern, we learn in the Gemara, Omer Reb Chama Bachanina, Sholosh Matmunei Sitmin Yosef B'Mitzrayim, Yosef buried three treasures in Egypt. Achas Nizgala LeKoirach, one was revealed to Koirach, and so Koirach was a very rich Jew. We used to say about somebody, oh, he's rich, and then we'd say, oh, he's so rich, like you couldn't believe, and then we'd say, ah, he's as rich as Koirach. Ba'achas nizgala le'Antoninus ben Asvirus, and one of them was revealed to the emperor Antoninus. Ba'achas genuzel le'tzadikim nosidlovai, and one of the treasures that Yosef buried will be revealed in the future. So this idea also contains Yosef is taken from his mother this ability to see into the future and to pick and to choose and to take out from among the pagans the ideas that are really useful and worthy of preservation. And so we learn also in the Me'er Shaloyach about Binyamin. The totem of Binyamin is Zev Yitro. If it's a wolf that tears. And that's the verse in Genesis when Jacob's blessing his children, he says, Binyamin Zev Yitro, Binyamin is a ravenous wolf. Baboyka Yoichel Teref, in the morning he eats prey, in the evening he divides the spoil. And about this we learn in the Me'er Shiloyach, Ki Binyamin hu mekabetz kol ha'toivus mibein ha'omes machnisam li'Yisrael, because the idea of the wolf is that he drags this stuff back to his lair. And so Binyamin, he's the one of the 12 tribes that knows how to go out into the world and grab the holy sparks and drag them back and absorb them into the Jewish people. So all the wealth that comes to Israel, Rochel, comes through the ability of Rachel, Lahakir Makidailon a little bit, because Rachel has the ability to recognize what's worthwhile gathering from among the nations, and what doesn't belong to us. So this is the text of Mishnah Yud Aleph of the 11th Mishnah. Himlich ois Reish, he enthroned the letter Reish, v'koshel lo keser, tied it a crown, v'tzorof and zemzeh, combined them with one another, v'tzor boi levona b'oilam, fashioned the moon in oilam, shishi b'shabas b'shona, Friday in the year, v'af smoil b'nefesh, and the left nostril in nefesh. So it's interesting, and this is note 81, Himlich ois Reish, Zuan Asiv Shebein Gvura Lahoid, this is the pathway between Gvura and Hoid. Ein Likutei Torah, there's an interesting Likutei Torah, Torah from the Ari. And he says, V'chein ma shelokso, shelokcho klipas moyav, hi Rus ha-moyavir. And so Ruth, the Moabite, who is on the pathway above Rachel, she is the one who absorbs, she takes the klipa, the husks, and takes the holy sparks out of the nation of Moab. V'hu kishem adni b'rochel u'milui gimatri tofresh ein aleph. If you write out the name Adonai, aleph dalet nun yud, aleph lamed pei, dalet lamed tof, as I've shown below, if you the name of Adonai then has a gematria of 671. If you actually remove the letters Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, you're left with 606, which is the gematria of Ruth. So the Ari says that Ruth has that ability to take the klipa, the shell, the husk that is around the light. So if the Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud is the light, then when you write out the letter Aleph, Aleph Lamed Pei, and Dalet, Dalet Lamed Tuf, and so on, then those other letters are like the shell. And that is the ability of Ruth. And so she's able to take the sparks, they attach themselves to her. And so we find that there's a connection between the Dalet and the Resh, because the Dalet is Ruth and the Resh is Rachel, and they're both on the left-hand column, and they both mean poverty. Dal means poverty and Resh means poverty, and in architectural terms, you know, as symbols, they can't stand on their own. The Dalet and the Resh, if you were to make them in three dimensions, they would fall over because they're top-heavy, and so they require support. In that sense, they are poor. Right, so let's look at Mishnah 12. Hine, b'perik zeh medaber al ois beis. In this chapter, we've talked a lot about the letter beis. In the previous chapter, we talked a lot about the letter aleph, aleph mem shin, that, you know, mem on one side, shin on the other side, and aleph in the middle is the machria, is the balance. In this, we've started with base gimel dalet chaf pei resh tov. We start with a base, the letter base. So base of bechina nivchel ashras hashchina, and the word bias, the letter base is written base yud tov, which we can also read as bias, as a house. And the shechina is always identified with the house, like the Gemara says, loik avram shekosu boy har. The shechina is not like a mountain. Avram called it a mountain. He says, "As Hayim Behar Hashem Yeroh," at the Akedah, he said, "Today, God appeared on the mountain." Like Yitzchak Shikosa by Soda, not like Isaac, who refers to the Shekhinah as a field, and says, "Vayetzah Yitzchak Lusach Basoda." Yitzchak went out to meditate in the field. Eloki Yaakov, the Shekhinah is like Yaakov Shikori Bayis, who calls it a house. Shenema, as it is written, when he wakes up after the dream, Vayikra Hashem Amokem Ahu Beis El, he calls it the house of God. So the Shekhinah is not a mountain, it's not a field, it's a house. A base. U'bishvil sh'ois Aleph hu mispa echad, and because the Aleph is number one, in a ru'uy alias amerkova le'milim, so it's not really a vehicle for all the words. He calls she'ein lo shtei oisis ein amila, because if a word doesn't have at least two letters, it's not a word. So base, which represents the number two, it is a house. And in fact, in our Mishnah, we talk about words as houses. And also, you know, a word is called a teva. And a teva is also means a box, like a Noach was instructed to build a teva, which is another kind of a house. So the word house and the word for word are very much connected to one another. And of course, in the bigger sense, bayit and beit is a reference to the Shekhinah. And we talked about in the first chapter, in the 11th Mishnah, we talked about the holy living angels. There were wheels, ofanim, there were chayos, there were seraphim, there were fire angels, and each of them represents a different part of the chariot of speech. And we said that the chayos, the living creatures, they refer to the words that come out of the letters. And he said that these holy living creatures, they, and in some ways, they resemble the wheels. Ki yesh lehem koil v'dibur, because words have voice and they have speech. Aleim sidru b'tfilas, and you know, in the davening we say, umashmiyim b'yiro yachab b'kol divrei limchaim, and they all together they pronounce in the voice, the words of the living God. These are the angels that we call Chayos HaKodesh, living angels. And they are words. V'kivin sheyesh ois beis, and since we have the second letter of the alphabet, yesh b'chinas shtayim, so we have the idea, the concept of two. U'kasheyesh shtei oisius, and when we have two letters, efshel l'harkivam livnis mehem, you can put them together and build things from them. Lo yibayis echad, not one house, ela shtei batim, hayinu shnei minim, two houses, which is two words. And kam b'm mishna seinu, and here comes our mishnah, al hezba abatim, to explain these houses, which come from the bayit, from the one house, which is the letter base. Ve'ech boinim, and how you build, v'kam abatim eshel livnis, and how many houses it's possible to build. So this is mishnah yud beis. Ketzad tzirfan, how are they combined? Shtei avonim, two stones. Boinois shtei batim, build two houses. Sholosh, three stones. Boinois shisha batim, builds six houses. Arba, four stones. Boinois esrim v'arba batim, builds 24 houses. Chomesh, five stones. Boinois meo v'esrim batim, builds 120 houses. Sheish, six stones. Boinois shvav meos v'esrim batim, builds 720 houses. Mikan ve'elach, here onwards, tzeach shov, calculate. Go and calculate. Ma she'enu ayin yechoyle lirois, what the eye cannot see. Ve'en ha'pe yechoyle ledaber, what the mouth can't speak. Ve'en ho'oizen yechoyle lishmoya, what the ear cannot hear. So, what do we mean? In note 84, shtei avonim boinoi shtei batim, two stones build two houses. Well, let's imagine two stones, right? You've got aleph beis. You can, that's one word, that's one bayit, one house. And then you've got beis aleph, which is another house. Av means father, and bar means come. Three stones build six houses, note 85. Like you have mem ches lamed, for instance. You have mochal u'melach, to forgive, to pity, or to and salt. And then you have chaloim and chomol, to have pity and to dream. And then lemayach and lechem, to the brain and bread. So you have the three letters make six words. And of course, in the previous chapter, we had it with Aleph Mem Shin, Aleph Shin Mem, Mem Shin Aleph, and so on. So three letters, and there is a simple formula that you, now that we have six words, the next stage, four letters is going to make four times six. And then five letters is going to make five times the number, the sum of four times six, and so on. With this, really, we have finished chapter 4.